It's Great Mondays Radio. I'm Josh Levine, your host, founder of Great Mondays. We help executives from hypergrowth technology and social enterprise organizations build cultures that attract, engage, and retain top talent. If you'd like to be a guest on our program, hang out for about 20 minutes and I'll tell you how. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Great Mondays Radio. A lot of corporate leaders and folks that are on their way to becoming corporate leaders, I think, have a challenge to overcome. At least I know plenty of folks that I know, and I myself have that challenge of having the confidence to ask for what you want. Today on the show, I have an expert, executive advisor and communications expert whose job it is to help women ask for what they want. And we're going to ask her how we can ask for what we want and increase the likelihood that we get it. Please welcome to Great Mondays Radio, Karen Laus. Welcome. Welcome, Karen. How
I'm welcoming myself.
Yes, Hi, Josh. Welcome. Great to have you on. Thank you so much. So you have years of experience. You started in HR, which I thought was a good kind of starting point for us. But you have years of experience being an executive advisor inside helping executives and CEOs. Coaching them in particular directions. But what caught my eye and what I wanted to have you on to talk about is your specific focus on women and helping them get the confidence to ask for what they want. So let's start with this. Why is this your focus? Where did this come from? What inspired you to kind of move in that direction? And then we'll kind of get into the tactics of it all.
Of course. When I was 6 years old, Josh, my dad used to take me to flea markets. And I'll never forget the first time he took me to give me a few dollars. And he goes, go have fun, but never pay full price. And I truly had no idea that that was even possible. Mm-hmm. So from a young age, my dad taught me how to negotiate. But more importantly, he really taught me about the power of having the courage to ask. And he wasn't one of these people that was spending a lot of time coaching me or anything. It was more about his modeling, as well as something that he used to say a lot, which is, you don't have unless you ask. And the other mantra he would say is, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Mm-hmm. So from that young age, I was taught that. And I always believed that anything was possible if I asked. So I'm particularly unusual because, at least in my work with women in particular, it is amazing how often we don't ask. And if you look at the stats around this, only 7% of women negotiate their first job starting salary compared to 57% of men. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. We're unfortunately behind from the beginning.
Do we have data around why that split in the genders expresses itself like that? Is there anything in there that we know why?
Well, a big part of it is the cultural conditioning. I don't have an immediate stat to offer you related to that. But when I look at the research and the way that we have formed ourselves as a society, there is something about women being more of the ones, traditionally, okay, holding back. You're the nurturers. It's important for everybody else to be happy. We don't think about getting our needs met. That's just not something that we are culturally conditioned for.
Right.
So I'd say that's the biggest gap.
Don't upset. Don't do anything that's going to upset somebody else. Right. And I feel like there's something in there about that. And the word that keeps coming up, even when we were starting to talk before we even started recording is this idea of confidence. Because what you're just describing to me doesn't sound like a lack of confidence, is it? I mean, is that something different than trying to make sure that nobody else is upset or taken care of, that kind of cultural conditioning? Or is that a second factor here?
I'd say there's multiple factors. And what I can think about is my story specifically as a senior leader in a corporation where my boss had asked me to present something. And honestly, I didn't agree with it. I didn't think it was the right forum that she wanted me to present this in, but I was taught you don't question your boss, you figure it out. So when game time came and I was sitting in that boardroom in front of seven other people, I couldn't get the words out because when it actually came time, I didn't feel aligned. My stomach was in my throat. She shuts it down and then says to me afterward, pulls me aside into her office. And she goes, Karen, you didn't trust your gut. You could have just tabled the meeting. And in that moment, I thought of two things. Number one, what? I could have tabled a meeting? And then the other thing was, why do I keep asking for permission? Mm-hmm. And that was the moment that I set out to figure out what is the root of my problem. So what I can tell you related to your question is that it wasn't due to a lack of confidence in my abilities. It was due for me to that internal conflict of you don't rock the boat, you don't question your boss. So it's definitely complex. There's a lot of different factors, but I've definitely seen a lot of people mm-hmm. prioritize the mm-hmm. people pleasing mm-hmm. over, and it's not specific to women, although that is my focus. This is all genders. And it is amazing how, and if you think about my experience at that time in particular, I was on big stages all over the world. I had a whole team of people that I was training and speaking and facilitating, and I hired all of them. And I had no problem being confident in that area. But then when it came specifically with my boss, I was very intimidated by her. So sometimes it can be an archetype of somebody from your past, you know, not getting too deep into that. But if we think about culture,
we have on the podcast gotten a little bit deep into that. Yes, we've talked about it a bit. Yes.
Yeah. Familiar. So, you know, this with culture. Yeah. So many times people think, oh, we have to change course. We need a different action. We'll get a different result. But we fail to look at what's underneath the surface, which are the mm-hmm. beliefs that have shaped the experiences that we have had. And if we don't figure that out first, then we are not going to be very successful.
Yeah, but that was exactly the word I was going to use, the beliefs, right? The uninterrogated beliefs that we carry around with ourselves, within ourselves, right? So and if we can kind of point to them, there's, you know, the term is self-limiting beliefs, right? And it's amazing how powerful, how freaking difficult it is to uncover them and then get, you know, and then start to unwind them and how much time that takes, but it is incredibly powerful to do that. Okay. So let's then move this conversation forward because I want to get into this because I want to be more confident. I also have some of these, like, just a little bit of a pulling back when I, you know, try to ask for the thing that I, you know, that I want. Let's go with this kind of asking for what you want 101. You've told us your story, learning about not paying, full price. Where do we start? Where should we start thinking about when we start to think about asking for what we want, starting to exercise that muscle?
Number one is you have to know what you want. And that is the number one thing. And it's interesting because for the last few years, I've been really zeroing in on this and I'm in the middle of writing a book about it. And what was interesting is that I was ready to create this book, helping people with the tactical aspects of how to ask, the actual strategy of the words and then the how and all that. And I've had a number of people say, I don't even know what I want. And in fact, in my own mini research a couple of years ago, I remember being at a conference. It was an HR conference and there were 1,000 people there. I probably had in the 3 days that I was there, 10 meaningful conversations. And in those conversations, generally speaking, I ask in general, when I have a good conversation with somebody, and in those 10 cases, I asked at the end, how can I support you? Or some version of that, or what are you looking for? What do you need?
Great relationship building tactic.
Yeah. And I mean, I legitimately mean it. And they just went, most people looked at me with their jaw on the floor going, that's such a great question. I don't know. I'm going to have to get back to you. I think 2 out of the 10 actually knew, but it was striking to me. And so this is going back to your question. We've got to be clear on what it is that we want. And we can start in the low stakes situations. It can be making a decision at Starbucks or deciding which restaurant you want to go to with your friends. Be the person that says, hey, I'd like to go to this place. And when we can practice in these lower stakes situations, we can build that muscle in the high stakes.
Okay. Yeah. Get clear on what it is that we want. What might advance our careers? What is the, you know, what is our kind of on our bucket list, business or otherwise? So what are some tools? Let's say we've practiced saying the thing that we want in the low stakes situations. What are some other ways that we can start to advance this practice for ourselves, asking for what we want? What do you advise your clients? What do people say really helped, really worked?
The difference between a passive and a direct ask. So another story.
Gosh. Okay. All right. Let's just chapter two. The difference between a passive and an active ask. I'm ready for it. Lay it on me.
This was a couple of years where I was doing more traditional presentation skills training within corporate roles or corporate teams. And in specifically sales teams, let's imagine 12 people, they get paired up. They go up to the front of room. They have 1 minute that they are going to be recorded where they each get a turn. So if you and I were sitting across the desk or the table, then we would each get a turn to do our pitch in a minute. And then the number one requirement at the end was to make a direct ask. And I'm going to explain the difference in a minute. But first, I want to share that after recording all of these, I had people raise their hand before we watched them back on video. Raise your hand if you think you made a direct ask. And the majority of people raised their hands. But when we watched them back, they would start with the word if. If you're interested, let me know.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Versus, would you like to learn more? Or are you interested? It's such a simple language shift. And I always tell people, if you're going to start a sentence with if and you think it's a direct ask, try again.
If you're interested versus are you interested?
Yes.
And it's like a hedge, right?
Totally. And this is such a great example, Josh, of just the everyday emails that we get from a new connection. Think about the difference between somebody that says, hey, Josh, so great to meet you. Would love to connect sometime. Versus, hey, Josh, so great to meet you. I'd love to connect. Does next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Pacific time work for you?
Yeah.
Be the one to make a specific request and you are going to get a lot better results.
Yeah. Yeah. Because how do you respond to that? You have to go through as the responder, right? You have to go through the logic of if, and it actually moves the question from needing to be answered now to maybe it could be answered in the future. If you're interested, maybe it's like the unsaid ever. If in the future you're ever interested, please give me a call. This is hitting me right in the gut because this is absolutely a practice that I need to get better at. I am just not comfortable with I guess this is my work, right? I don't know why I can't just freaking do it. Ah.
Well, I remember consulting board of directors, and we were in a U-shaped framework, and the guy sitting across the U said to me, because I was teaching them about how to ask, they were all great at telling the story of the company, but they were terrible at asking for the money. And it was so funny because the guy goes, Karen, I feel uncomfortable even asking you for the pen in front of you, or at a meal asking someone to pass the mashed potatoes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's what I go back to, the low stakes situations, practicing there.
The number one thing that I can imagine, or this is what I thought, let me just put it in first person. When I understood your kind of the focus of what you do, helping women ask for what they want, my immediate assumption was the majority of the time we're really talking about money. And I wanted to get into what if passing the mashed potatoes is the low stakes, money is to me is like the highest stakes, I would think. Can you tell me a little bit about, in your experience, why the money piece tends to be so hard for humans to engage with?
Money is always a difficult subject for people. I this is a tough one. I think that it all goes back to, do you feel worth it? Are you standing on the wall of your value for the money that you're asking for? And some people don't feel that they're worth the money that they're asking for. I also think, just in general, as most humans are generally good, I believe that we have been taught that that might be appear to be greedy, or there's some weird thing around money. And most people don't talk about it much. And then you add the gender element, and most people don't talk about it at all. And this is why I am on a mission to help people. Now, asking really could be anything at all, but it's the money piece. I've been doing so many more talks and consulting around how to price yourself in the industry, in various roles that people are in. And it is amazing. I mean, I think about another example where a executive had a particular, she has a company, it's, without getting into the details, there is this particular machine that they needed to purchase for this type of work that they do. And it's a $100,000 machine. She didn't think twice, paid the $100,000. Talks to a male colleague in the same business. A few months later, finds out he paid $75,000 for that same machine. And she goes, how did this happen? I said, well, you didn't ask. He probably asked and negotiated. And that's another thing that a lot of us don't remember, or even were taught. That you don't have to take what the offer is. You can ask, but we often just accept what we're given.
Why? What is my question here? What is it that prevents, like, I you mentioned it earlier, and here's my experience, is you don't want to scare someone off or offend somebody, or let's say the kind of like, what's the worst case scenario? And my thought is, like, when I'm pricing work or I'm pitching work, and here's how much, and then the fear is, that's too much, I'm going to hang up the phone, right? You're going to get, like, it is a combination of losing the work and a, you know, a hard rejection that I guess kind of is like, that you want to avoid that pain at all costs. So I'll pay more.
Exactly.
But it doesn't know it, the majority of the time. Yes. Sometimes that will happen, but I don't know that that would have been a successful engagement anyways. But that's what I try to, at least when I'm talking to my peers or I'm talking to myself, myself into it. It's like, no, you can have the conversation. It's going to be they will be able to take care of themselves.
The other people.
Yeah. Yeah. They will come back with, in your experience, is that, I mean, again, this is, I'm not the expert here. You are, but this is what my kind of logic chain is what I'm trying to convince myself, where it's like, it is okay to negotiate because people are willing to do that and they're willing to receive that. Is that like, One is what I've described as like fear of rejection or fear of, you know, I guess we'll just call it fear of rejection. And also that like countering that with that like confidence of it's okay. They will be able to handle that, you know, ask.
Yeah, we don't want to fragilize people. And we also don't want to assume what's in their wallet. And I have made this mistake many, many times. I also have an old coach friend of mine who happens to live in Tennessee. And this is his story, but I think it's a great example. So nothing against anybody in Tennessee. But he said, there are plenty of trailer parks in the area where I live. And you know what else are in those trailer parks? Huge satellite dishes and fancy cars. People will pay for what they want to buy. And this might be a bit of a different topic, but it's connected around the piece of we can't make an assumption based on what somebody else's decision is going to be. So that's what comes to mind for me when you're talking. Mm-hmm. And then going back to the emotion around it on the other side, with our own emotions is, and I'm glad you brought up rejection because that's such a huge part of it. It's that fear, like you said, and at any cost, I'm going to avoid that pain.
Right.
And yet at the same time, we also often forget that when we do stand confidently in the value that we provide, the right places are going to, or the right people, the right places, the right deals, whatever you want to call it, are going to find us. But we let fear get in the way so much that we're afraid of losing this deal or losing this business. And yet if we release that and we stayed grounded in what we want and what we want to create for ourselves, we would have a different experience. And I say that from somebody who has spent a lot of years working on this myself. I come from a Midwestern family where everybody else's needs are important and you're everybody else. You got to take care of them first. And I mean, all the things I'm all the stereotypes.
Yeah. My goodness. Absolutely. All right. Last tips or tricks or, you know, how to get started. We talked about kind of starting small. What else would you advise the folks listening to get, help them work that muscle? What would you advise me and the people listening? What other questions or tools do you have that have been really effective for your clients?
One of the best is the question, how does that land with you? So for example, I'll tell you one of my biggest deals that happened a few years ago was me mentioning the price that I charge for consulting. And there was this long dramatic pause, like often happens. And you know how we're all taught, like in negotiation, the person who can be the silent most or the longest wins. Yeah. But I think there's a point in time, which is, this is my process, where you have to decide, is this a moment in which I might want to say something? And if so, this is what I recommend. And I'll tell you how it played out for me. I let that pause linger for a few seconds. And then I said, how does that price point land with you? And she said, well, it's a heck of a lot more than the other advisors we're looking at. And then I said, I recognize I'm higher than most. Now, I want to tell you, Josh, with all humility, I have never said that before. I don't even know where that came from. That was a new level for me of standing on the wall of my value. And then I said, is this a deal breaker? And she said, absolutely not. What's more important to me is the right fit. I'm going to come back to you. She came back to me. She couldn't do the full thing, but she was great because she was one of those wonderful people that you love to do business with because she immediately said, this is what I have. What do you need to scale differently in your offer to work with us?
Yeah. And you've created that value in that conversation, in that exchange, and, you know, essentially established your primacy in that, you know, you, and like you said, I recognize I charge more than most, which is, I understand. I'm not like surprised, which is look at this wall that I'm standing on. I know, I understand. It's not a good fit. I understand it's not a good fit for everybody. Right. But you said, is that a deal breaker? And I think what's so powerful about that is putting the question back on them around, is this something that where are your values, right? In a way.
Exactly.
Yeah. How does that land with you? How does that land for you? That's great. That's a good one to have in the back of your pocket.
And I also want to say it's funny how that seems to be the most popular thing that people come back to me around and say, I tried that, or I thought of you. And one client recently came back and she said, I got a $10,000 deal because I stopped and I asked that question. Because why I like it, just to elaborate on this a little bit longer, versus just letting the silence sit there. Now, that can be an option. Who knows what might happen if you do that option? But how it's worked for me is that it is this way of giving the other person permission to tell you, oh, that's a lot, or, ooh, I don't, like, you get more intel from the answer.
Yeah. And you open up the canvas and make it okay to discuss.
Exactly.
Holy crap. This is so good. You can see why you're higher priced than everybody already. And all the audience, all the listeners of Great Mondays Radio are getting this for free. Amazing. Karen Laus, this has been an incredible conversation. Thank you so much for coming on. Hey, if you guys like to listen to your, like to look or watch your audio feeds, we are on YouTube. You can just look up at Great Mondays. Check us out on YouTube. You can see how Karen has dressed up for the occasion and worn the specific Great Mondays pink in our overview. And you can check out my amazing pink background as well and all my ephemera. So check us out on YouTube. Helping women ask for what they want. Karen Laus is an executive advisor and communications expert. You can learn more about her at karenlaus.com, karenlaos.com. Karen, amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your genius with us on Great Mondays Radio.
Thank you, Josh.
Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio. Hey, if you want to be a guest, head over to radio.greatmondays.com. And if you think this episode was interesting and your friends and fans would enjoy it, please share on social media. And if you want to get more people to understand the power of company culture in business today, please rate and review Great Mondays Radio on your podcast feed. It really helps us reach more people. If you want to hear more candid conversations with culture leaders, subscribe to Great Mondays Radio. I'd love to connect with you. Find me on LinkedIn at AKA Josh Levine, on YouTube at Great Mondays. And you can always email me, josh@greatmondays.com. Find out more about our work with hypergrowth technology and social enterprise organizations at greatmondays.com. I'm Josh Levine. Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio.